Hi guys, it's DJ Anita B here, and you're listening to House of Mimosa, the podcast. Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com, my favorite iPhone app, Drag My City, also available on Android, Dragaholic.com, and Kitchen Restaurante and the Out NYC. Now, before Jeannie Marie and I give you a listing of things that you can do for Pride Week in New York City, listen to one of my Pride favorites, Barry Harris, featuring Pepper Mache, I Got My Pride. We've also got special guest Bob the Drag Queen. So stay tuned to this special Pride episode of House of Mimosa, the podcast. That's hashtag HOM podcast.
Time of year, and there's always so much going on.
Yeah.
All the promoters are doing something. All the clubs and bars are doing something.
Exactly.
And I used to love... Well, first of all, the parade is always a good time.
Always. I mean,
kind of over the parade now. Like, I'm kind of like, I don't really feel like I have to be at the parade.
Well, I mean, I think it's a rite of passage. I think, you know, you go and you experience the parade. And, you know, I used to go for so many years. And then I was like, okay, now I just want to kind of hang out at the bar. And
right.
I did that for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And kind of was by the parade and saw
right.
it when I wanted. But then got in
right.
and had a beverage here and there. And
yeah, well, I always loved being in the action and,
oh, yeah.
and being near and being able to have a drink and be outside. And that's, you know, always a good time. So, you know, we love Kitchen. We love the Out NYC. Not only do they house our famous weekly Sunday brunch show that we've been doing since, God, like 2008.
Yeah.
But we've been there at Kitchen for about
three years.
Yeah. But they also house our podcast. Whenever we interview special guests, they let us use the space to welcome our guests into and conduct the interview.
And it's a nice space that's very comfortable for, you know, our guests to
yeah.
sit down and relax with us and have fun and,
right.
you know, get the best out of them.
So They're one of our sponsors today, and as such, we want to let you guys know what's going on over there at the resort for Pride Week. So this Friday, from 5 to 8, they're doing a Pride Welcome Happy Hour on the Great Lawn. Now, if you've never been, the second floor of the resort is, like, open. There's an open area with, like,
the greenery, shall we say.
Lawn. Right, it's so nice to be outside in the sun.
Yes.
They've got lounge chairs. I don't know, it's always set up a little bit different, mm-hmm. but...
There's a spa there as well.
The spa's there as well, yep.
Uh-huh.
And so they're going to be doing happy hour Pride Welcome on the Great Lawn, 5 to 8 on Friday. And then at 10 o'clock, 10 to 5 a.m., they're doing a beach party.
And that's at the XL Nightclub. And
which the XL Nightclub has had... God, Lady Gaga's been there.
Oh,
she performed there. Ariana Grande performed there. Cyndi Lauper performed there.
It's a great
Wendy
space.
Williams had a party there. Who's my favorite? Oh, my God. Who's my favorite? I still get jealous.
Nick Jonas.
Is that Nick Jonas?
Yes.
He performed there. Yeah. Ooh, Nick Jonas.
Yeah. Well, what's fun about the beach party is I think they're going to have a water slide, and you can, like, bring your swimsuit, and they're going to have, like, your clothes checked in at the door, and you can get a towel.
What I'm excited about is that they're also doing an Andrew Christian fashion show.
Oh.
So Andrew Christian makes the sexiest underwear.
Skimpiest and sexiest underwear. Yeah.
And if you're... if you need a little help in the downstairs department...
In the package area?
He makes these underwear that kind of help lift everything and push everything forward. Kind of like the Wonder Bra for men.
Yeah, it's basically like the auto-tit sling of your...
The auto-tit sling for the dick. Yeah. Andrew Christian. Yeah, so they're going to do an Andrew Christian fashion show as well that night.
I love it.
And then Saturday... From 10 to 4 is the Friendship Brunch at Kitchen. But the Friendship Brunch at Kitchen will be happening from 10 to 4. And then, following the brunch...
Is a barbecue in the spa atrium.
That's right.
And I think, you know, you can get hot dogs and hamburgers.
Well, this is
and
the party
drinks.
I DJed last week.
Yeah.
And it was really good, casual, fun, chill.
Really
you
chill.
You can get in the hot tub. Mm-hmm. They've got the grill going. I don't know if anyone's DJing it this week or not. But, you know, I'm sure they'll have the tunes pumping. And then, of course, Saturday night at 9 p.m.
Saturday night at 9 p.m. is the Hunkamania show.
The special Pride edition male review of Hunkamania.
That's right.
So, boys, come on out. See the Hunkamania show at XL on Saturday night. How exciting is that?
The men are hot.
Hot.
Hot, 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 hot. And then after that, they're doing the Urban Cirque party, which is a live performance by Veronica Vega. And I think it's just going to be a whole dance club night.
Right. And then, of course, Sunday, you can see our bottomless brunch show at Kitchen Restaurant from 12:30 to about 3:30. If you don't feel like being at the parade, come on over to brunch, celebrate with us, have some drinks. Or if you want to come and have brunch before you go to the parade, do that too.
Exactly.
We'll be there all day. You can make reservations for brunch by calling 212-868-2999. And listen, we got to thank everyone who's always supported us and come on out to see us at brunch. We love you guys, especially you folks that make it your weekly habit to come and have brunch with us and party with us. And we're really excited about Pride Sunday. Last year, we were packed for Pride Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping it's the same this year.
It'll be so much fun to see familiar faces. So come on down. And after our brunch, we're going to be mixing and mingling with everybody and sticking around because DJ Anita B.
That's right.
Is going to be playing her... Hits.
That's right. We're going to hang out. Mm-hmm. We're going to do some happy hour. Come on over after the parade to Kitchen Restaurant. We'll be there all day from brunch until happy hour.
That's right. And then Sunday night, if you're not dead to the world.
You still want to keep partying.
That's right. From 11 p.m. to 5 a.m., they have the Ultra Glow Dance Party at XL. And if you're interested in going to any of these events, especially the ones at the club, you can buy tickets at eventbrite.com. That's event, BRITE.com.
Now, not all of these events are ticketed. Some of them are free. The Great Lawn events, I think, are free. And of course, brunch. You come to brunch and order off the menu. But you want to talk about, now that we've gone through all this, it's got me reminiscing. Do you have any favorite Pride memories?
I have some Pride memories I don't want to relive. But no, I have some really fun ones. I mean, I always had a great time just being at the duplex. And, you know, my friends would get together. Mostly my friends from Long Island would get together years ago. And we would get stationed at the duplex.
Back when you were a wee gay.
Back when I was a wee gay. And the duplex was a place where we always hung out, and kind of started the day. We would, like, get in there, pay a price, and, like, go in, have drinks. They used to have, in the Duplex Cabaret Bar, they would have, like, a, you know, the live televised footage from outside.
Oh, uh-huh. From the parade.
Yeah, and you'd get to see the parade, you get to hang out with people, meet other people.
Nice.
And it was just a really great time.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'd be able to finagle yourself outside, and, you know, if you coaxed yourself where the men had a lot of money, they had, like, ticketed areas where, for a lot of money, you could actually, like, have your chairs set up outside. And if you, you know, kind of...
Right.
finagled yourself in there, you know, you could see the parade and
yeah.
have somebody buy you a drink or two and
nice.
Have a good time.
I do enjoy Pride. And
yeah.
I think for me, I've enjoyed, through us performing, being able to go to different cities for different Prides. Last year, I loved Toronto Pride. Toronto is like one of my favorite cities, and we got to perform for World Pride last year. And the whole city is just like, I mean, even when it's not Pride that we've been there to perform, like, the city just seems very open and welcoming and warm, and there's lots of stuff going on, and I love Toronto. I love it.
Well, I think any city, you know, is going to have that vibe. It's going to be so great. It feels great to be a gay American. It feels great to be able to be in a town, in a city that is, like, celebrating
yeah.
the fact that we are gay.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. It's nice. I mean, people complain that the parade now is a little corporate. But I think it's nice to see the support from corporations. And but I do miss the days. You know, I'm so glad. I moved here in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt, I'm so glad that that's when I moved here, because I wish I'd moved earlier. But I felt like I got to see the last of that, like, the 90s sort of vibe, where the whole city wasn't a mall yet. And, you know, it was more artists.
Yes.
More free art. Living,
of
you know,
course.
Kind of vibe, and
it was very different. I mean, I grew up in Long Island, so we would come on the weekends every once in a while to the city, and that was in the late 90s.
Go to the Rambles.
Early 2000s, and no, not
the bathhouses.
No, just, yeah, well, once in a while. No, but just to watch. But but we would have a really great time back then, and
yeah.
it was just a different vibe. The gay community
yeah.
was different. Limelight was out and
yeah.
about. Like, it was a place to
yeah.
go. It was like,
everything is a little uppity now, I feel like. Like, can we all just calm down?
Yeah.
Like, I just want everyone to calm down. Like, just, let's all just have a beer. Let's have a beer. You
yeah.
know, let's just have a beer. Calm down.
And,
you know?
Be grungy
yeah,
together,
like,
and, like, kind of
embrace. I don't
know.
I just think everything is too clean.
Yeah, pristine.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
John and McGovern, can you come back to New York, please? Like, you know,
uh-huh.
like, I miss that, like, old school. I don't know, I miss it.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I know
Pride is so fun, and
it is.
This time of year in New York City is fun, if you can stand the goddamn heat. But let's go to break, because I'm so excited about our guest, and she will be here right after this.
That's right.
Hey, it's Wendy Wilde, and here's the beat on the street. Reserve your table now at AOA Bar and Grill for the House of Mimosa show on Saturday, June 20th and 27th for the best live singing show in town. Showtime from 1 till 3 p.m. All are welcome. Reservations recommended. Visit AOABarAndGrillNYC.com or call 212-925-1600.
And we're back. I'm always excited about our guests, but this guest in particular this week, I'm, like, really excited about, because
she's near and dear to our heart.
We've talked about her on the podcast before.
Yes.
We've talked about how critical I am. And so when I go out to see a performance, it better be goddamn good. And this queen is probably, I mean, seriously, my favorite queen, I think, is Jackie Beat, and then
Bob the Drag Queen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we have Bob the Drag Queen here today. Welcome, Bob.
I was thinking how funny it would be if I just, like, nodded instead of saying
yes.
Yeah. just, like, nodding my head.
We're recording
right
now.
This is video, right? No, that's a huge compliment, because let me tell you right now, Jackie Beat is my favorite, not just my favorite drag queen, she's my favorite entertainer of all time.
I know that we went together separately to see her at Laurier Beachman, and I had only seen her videos, which, to me, are such a heightened, like, condensed version of what she does that I kind of was like, you know, it's raunchy, you know? And for me, I'm kind of always like, oh, God, everyone does raunchy. But when I saw her live, I was like, okay, bitch.
But you like smart raunchy.
Yeah.
And I enjoy smart raunchy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's smart. She's
very smart.
A
very,
concierge.
Very smart. Oh, 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 we're getting
just arrived. Our beverages. Yeah, thank you.
I'm not sure if this is true.
Oh, this is Stolio. We probably shouldn't say that we're drinking Stoli. I got yelled at the other day at the club for drinking Stoli.
I think it's fine now.
Drinking Jim Crow cocktails. Yes.
And we're going to eat Chick-fil-A. Thank you, guys.
Hello.
So one of the things we talked about in preparing to have you on was, okay, what are we going to talk to Bob about? What are we going to talk to Bob the Drag Queen about? And we're so inspired and enjoy your performances so much, we really wanted to find out what you're inspired by. And
what your process is, really.
Well, we're watching Bob. We can give you a real name out.
Yeah, Christopher. Well, it's really funny. I've always gone by Caldwell my whole life.
Uh-huh.
Which is my life. I'm from a military town. But then Facebook, you know, when the Facebook Gestapo came by and started, you know, looking through all the addicts, they found me.
Yes.
And they make you go by your legal name. Yeah. And my legal name is Christopher Caldwell. So most people don't call me Christopher, except my mom and, like, bill collectors. So I've been getting called Christopher a lot lately, which has been interesting. But as a general rule, all my friends either call me Caldwell or Bob. All
right. Well, Caldwell.
Yeah.
I love that.
We're watching Caldwell put on his makeup because he has a show tonight at Hardware Bar.
Yeah, I have two. I have one at Hardware Bar where I do a show called Skinny Brunch, which does not compete with their brunch, actually.
No. Which we thank you for very much. Thank you very much for that.
Love that.
And then I do a show, a really interesting show, every Sunday down at the Monster in the West Village called Look Clean.
Uh-huh.
And tonight our special guest is, speaking of raunchy and crass and disgusting and borderline racist, we have Lady Bunny as our guest tonight.
Oh, my God. That's huge.
Oh, she's epic. Like,
yeah.
Lady Bunny is actually legit one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life.
She's
and I think she's actually mentally handicapped.
Yeah.
Like, she has actual...
Retarded. She's a little retarded.
She's a little slow.
And when we say retarded, we mean it like the most offensive way possible. Like, something is wrong with that fucking person.
And speaking of racist, this is the blackest foundation I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's called Deep Ebony.
Deep Ebony.
Not even just Ebony, girl.
Just Deep Ebony.
Exactly. It should be called Ebony.
Ebony. Actually, the original name was Lupita Nyong'o, and I decided to switch it up.
Or as I call it, Lupita Mandingo. Okay, so let's talk about how you got started in drag. Because we were doing a gig the other night, and we kind of were talking about this a little bit backstage. You and I got into it a little bit, but I want to hear more. So how did you start?
Well, I started doing drag because I wanted to be a stand-up comedian. You know, I used to travel doing a couple of shows. Not major shows. I wasn't doing, like, any huge national tour. They were national tours, but they weren't, like, I wasn't, like, the national tour of 9 to 5 or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I was doing these tours, and then you know, you're really lonely. If you ever did, I don't know if you ever done like a tour before of a show,
yeah.
Only with each other, and I'd rather be alone.
I mean, that's basically what it boiled down to. So I did one tour; it was really small. It was me and one other actor. That was the entire tour. And so you only know one person in every town you go to. And I would just get like these notepads, and my goal was like, fill up the notepad with something. I'd write anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then one time I was just like, let's just go. I was gonna start writing stand up comedy. So I started writing stand-up comedy in this little notepad. I was like, I always wanted to be a stand-up comedian. I was already an actor. I moved to New York City. I did a lot of acting. Not anything major, but I did, you know, some acting work. And then I ended up, I said, I just want to try to be a stand-up comedian. So I was like, I've also wanted to do drag. I saw the first season of Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit, I'm a Drag Race baby. I'm someone who's born from watching Drag Race.
Uh-huh.
So I watched the first season of Drag Race, and I was like, oh, I could do that. And then I did it, and then, so I went to this comedy club as my former drag name, or as I call it, my slave name, Kitten with a Whip.
Yes.
That was my old drag name. I was Kitten with a Whip for like 4 years, and then that's how I started, basically, just trying to do stand-up comedy. So I didn't even do numbers at first. I just did stand-up comedy performances.
And you were, like, hosting mostly, too, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, after that, you know, drag work does not pick up.
Right.
No. Drag work is not like, and we're off to the races.
Right.
It was like, and, you know, it was a real slow process, basically.
Well, one of the things we talked to our listeners about is how you have to make things happen for yourself, whether it's with
yes.
drag or whatever your passion may be. You know, you really have to make it happen.
That is very true.
Yeah.
You know, when I first moved here, I wanted to do a lot of plays and stuff. But I was like, I couldn't get cast in the stuff I wanted to get cast in.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just write my own plays. Just produce them around town, which
you.
Is not easy to do. I was producing them in the shittiest places. Lucky Chang's, when he used to be on the Lower East Side, which is a crappy place. I used to work there. I can say that. It was terrible. Like, it was so bad. Like, as we walk into the room for rehearsal, you have to, like stomp and clap, and you'd hear, like, furniture moving because the rats would fucking, like, scare you so far.
Oh, my God.
But we turned it into, like, this magical place, and we did this parody of Little Shop of Horrors. But instead of a big talking plant, it was a big talking vagina. And instead of drinking blood, you can imagine what it drank.
Oh, my God.
Instead of, like, a plant house, it was a plant shop. It was a whorehouse. Like, this big old thing.
Oh,
and we, like, sold out. And it was, like, that was probably the first time I realized you really honestly can make your own,
yeah,
you know,
stuff.
Your own stuff, your own way.
You have to be the best you that you can be, and you have to put in the time and the work, you know? I think there's also, you know, luck involved, but there's also, to me, it's one of those things where if you just keep working, it'll work, it'll happen.
Yeah, you have to put out content.
Yes.
You have to put content mm-hmm. out there. No, it doesn't matter how great you are, that is in your head, it's just an idea. And I mean, I was telling my roommate the other day, because we were trying to write this parody, which I can just say that because it's probably never going to get written. I was like, we should do a parody of Bad Blood. But instead, it'd be like, you know, because baby, now we got bed bugs. The whole thing about bed bugs.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be hilarious.
Oh,
but anyway, he never really got around to writing it. And I was kind of like, girl, you know, he was like, I don't have time to do it. I literally don't have time. And I was like, see, this is where great people separate from normal people.
Right.
Because great people do impossible things.
Right. You make time.
So if you don't have time, make time.
Yeah.
Literally, make time. If Beyonce has time to record a whole album and a video for every song
yeah.
on the album,
yeah.
you have time to write a parody about
yeah.
bed bugs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What is that coffee mug or something that it says something about Beyonce, like, even Beyonce, like, if Beyonce has time, it's kind of like that. If Beyonce
yeah.
has time, you have time or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. I mean, so I was like, you know, you just have to... That really is what, I mean, if everyone could do it, he wouldn't be great.
Right.
So if you want to be great,
well, it does seem
do
now
it.
Like everyone and their mother's doing drag.
Oh.
Doesn't
honey.
It? Holy
everyone.
Sweet Jesus.
You know, and it's really funny because I joke, because I mean, I am a product of the drag baby boom.
Right.
I started after Drag Race. Did you guys start after Drag Race or pre-Drag Race?
We actually started right before.
Yeah,
yeah.
Pre-Drag Race. And we started off doing our own thing. You know,
yeah.
like we started doing the characters.
Well, like you're saying, your Little Shop stuff. Like we had... A
show
about these characters, Anita mm-hmm. and Gina Marie. So we actually did the podcast first, where Anita and Gina Marie were born, and then wrote a live theater show based on Anita and Gina Marie.
That's what we did
that's
first.
That's kind of what...
That's
yeah,
how it began. And, then
and you guys are doing your reading on Monday.
Yes.
We're so yeah, we're so excited about
like,
this.
Did I just like drop the bone before you guys?
No,
came
no.
And I was like, ah-ha, glory stolen.
Thank you
well,
for
this will...
Playing.
You all are listening to this afterwards,
mm-hmm.
but... yeah, tomorrow.
So you missed it.
Yes,
I missed it. But hopefully it'll happen again.
Yeah, hopefully. Okay, so who? So you? That's who you started in drag.
Yeah, doing stand up comedy, and then I got quickly obsessed with because there weren't a lot of there at that time there weren't over 70 contestants from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Right.
So you had to look up other queens.
Of course.
And I quickly stumbled upon Jackie B.
Yeah.
Because
oh,
my
yeah.
old roommate is obsessed with Roseanne Barr.
Uh-huh.
And you know mm-hmm. Roseanne and Jackie
that,
B.
Yes.
Work together.
If you've never seen this, you guys have to look up on YouTube Jackie Beat and Roseanne, and they do...
The makeup video?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's from... They do an opening for Roseanne's stand-up, right?
It's
stand-up
yeah,
special.
I think it was her show, her actual show.
Like
she
her stand-up
like a,
show.
Yeah, like she had like a short-lived network,
stand-up.
like an area cable show.
Oh, I didn't
oh,
know
okay.
this.
Didn't
okay,
know.
All right. And so they did a Jackie Beat plays her makeup artist.
Yeah.
And it's the most hysterical...
It is brilliant.
I can't.
And if you watch it, you will start quoting it in every day of your life.
It's hysterical.
Like,
oh,
I quote it all. It is all I ever do. It is my favorite thing. It is Jackie Beat is probably the funniest. We should just it's called the Jackie Beat Show, right?
Like, can we just talk about Jackie Beat?
She's one of the funniest and smartest people on the history of the earth.
Well, I have to tell you that we were doing our brunch show here like a month or two ago.
Oh yeah, about a month
and
a half ago.
We step out. And who is sitting smack dab front and center, like 2 feet away from us? Sherry Vine and Jackie Beat.
Jatricia Beat. Shirley Vine.
We shit ourselves. And they loved it. And Jackie Beat was like, oh my God, you guys are like younger versions of us.
Oh, and then they showed that picture of them.
Uh huh. The
I
picture
know.
Of
which
us.
Which is a gag.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
you really
it was so
like
funny.
So hopefully we talked to them about the possibility of doing a video together where we play
where
them
we
younger.
Play them young.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Which would be really great. I would love that.
I was like, we better hurry because I'm on the cusp of not being a younger you anymore.
Please.
Well, it's funny. Miss Cracker did like a young version of Sherry Vine
uh-huh.
on stage a while back. And Cracker was talking when she was like, when they were like having like this really serious conversation, she was like, you know, I've always been afraid I was going to die young. I've always been afraid I'm going to die young. And I was like, well, like for you, you would have had to die 5 years ago in order for you to have actually died young.
That's funny.
Live your life, girl.
That's funny. Okay, so Jackie Beat.
Yeah, so, I mean,
inspired by Jackie Beat.
Oh, she's one of my biggest inspirations. Chris Rock is a huge inspiration for me. Wanda Sykes, Whoopi Goldberg, Carol Channing. Mostly comedians and a lot of drag queens, too. But mostly comedians and Jackie Beat are probably my biggest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I go see every show she does in the city.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, I will.
I want to as well. It's always fresh and new. The way that she does her comedy, it's so great.
I mean, just genius.
Yeah. I can listen to her tell the same joke over and over again, and she will tell the same joke over.
But you know, it's so funny. People say this about us too. It's like they're like every time you could do the same stuff over and over and over again, but it seems different and fresh and new every time. And I think
it's based off of improv. So
well,
I think
the same. She's just got this personality that's like, I don't know. She's just. She's a star. I mean, she's a genius.
Yeah,
she's a star.
Is.
I love her.
When you're smart, when you're smart and you're an actor, you know how to, you know, keep the illusion of the first time to make it seem as if this is the first time you ever told this joke.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time you've ever worn this wig. It's the first time you've ever performed. You know, it has a look like this is the first time I've done this material, and she has that. Not a lot of people have that.
No.
A lot of people, it is, and, you know, and sometimes you even, I'm sure even Jackie finds herself in a moment where she's like, here I go singing this fucking song again, you know, about, did she do Soup or Salad when you guys came?
Which was one?
It's a song about soup or salad. And it's,
oh, yes, she did.
Yeah. She said she's been doing this. She's like, I've been doing this song forever. But she makes it seem, you know, like it's the first time. And I'm sure everyone has a moment they're like, ugh, I'm doing this again. Because if you, once you build a fan base, people will start to, you know, ask you, oh, can you do that song again? Or,
well, that's, yeah. Well, you know how that, like, we get that all the time where people are like, do Womanizer. I'm like, we've been doing Womanizer for fucking day one.
Yeah.
Seriously? You must have that too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have this fucking, like a couple of mixes that I do. And my numbers are all like these interesting, the mixes. It's a song.
I love them.
And then there's like stand-up comedy involved in it. There's clips from movies and like sound effects. That's actually kind of like a bit of drag that's kind of stemmed from like Lipsynka and who... I don't like to say that she invented that style of drag, but she definitely popularized it. So yeah, you should like take a song and you put like clips from comedy and TV shows and movies and sound effects in there.
Yeah, literally. Or that's popular.
Yeah, literally.
You know
anything.
What I love about that is I think there's so much educating that we can do for the younger kids via performing like that. Like taking an old song or an old movie clip or dialogue from, you know, an old Broadway play or something that was part of our culture that they may not know.
It'll make them look it up.
Yeah.
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 They'll hear it and they'll be like, what's that from?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
how cool.
Like, our Michelle did not know that Come Through, which Violet Chachki's been screaming on Drag Race this past season, is from Paris is Burning.
You know, I was trying to tell someone else, you know, when Violet Chachki comes into the room and she goes, ooh la 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 la. And I was like, that's from a thing. I don't know the thing.
Uh-huh.
But it is a thing. And I kept thinking, like, it's like at the beginning of a song or something. And they're like, no, she made that up. And I was like, yeah, absolutely not.
No.
You know, when you want to be like, no.
Well, and half of the stuff RuPaul says is stuff that's like a
everything RuPaul
stuff.
Says.
An homage to many things.
And RuPaul would be like, stolen, girl. Like, she's like, she's proud of it. She's like,
yeah,
I stole that shit.
Well, I think it takes it's a smart thing to hear something and hear it in a way that's like, oh, this needs to be repeated over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, and not just let it kind of drop off. What do you think of the Rue Girls, the 70-something Rue Girls that have come out? Do you have favorites?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, some of them are just terrible. Just not good performers.
Well,
probably not
good
people.
It's a reality show first, right?
Exactly.
Like, Rue talks about it. It's a reality show first, and they've got to make good television.
But it is unequivocally my favorite show on television.
It really is.
Next to Breaking Bad. And if they did drag on Breaking Bad, that would really
Breaking
Drag. Just call it Breaking Drag at this point.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is my favorite show. So all that aside, I mean, I've fallen in love with a lot of these queens, and some of the queens who have even been in my town, I didn't realize how much I would love them. You know, me and Bianca Doritos started working together just before she went on Drag Race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a huge fan of hers before.
But who's a huge fan of Bianca Del Rio anyway?
Yeah, exactly. Did anyone even know like, who she is?
Yeah, I mean, really.
I just give you a second to Google her. but once we started working together, I realized, wow, you're actually really smart. And yeah. I actually got a chance to fall in love with her right before the show aired. So she's someone that I really have just grown to think is brilliant.
Well, not only smart and funny and witty and talented, but like, so nice.
Yeah, genuinely so nice. Like,
has gone out of her way to come up to us, to talk to us about how much she loves us and how to keep, she said to us, keep doing what you're doing. What you're doing. Great. Yeah, you know, you guys are going to be it. Like,
different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one time here, she was out here checking into the hotel. I don't want to blow her cover.
Room 37B.
Yeah, exactly. And no, well, apparently she had like a flood in her apartment or something.
Yeah, something
to come.
Happened that she
she's like, it's my
expect.
One night home and they've got to be fucking in the hotel. But someone was in the hallway talking to the front desk about us having just finished our brunch show. And she's like, they're here. Where are they? Take me to them now.
That's a pretty good Bianca. Uh-huh. Where are they?
Yes. Where are they? And so, she nice. Came in and talked with us for a while. She's just the night. Like, so nice.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
just I mean, has a way with the crowd.
Well,
know?
Only somebody that nice can get away with being that bitchy on
stage.
Oh,
it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And when you are genuinely mean as a mean person, you try to be mean on stage, the audience knows that. And when you're a nice person and you're mean on stage, the audience knows that too.
Like Jackie Beef.
How do you, I try to think in terms of lessons for our listeners, who do you, when you come across, I don't want you to blow anybody up, you must come across people that are genuinely not nice and jealous of what you've got going on. How do you deal with that in the community when you're doing your thing?
It's funny you should mention. I was talking to one of my friends because I really try to see the good in everyone.
Yeah.
It's almost to a fault. Like, to the point where it's like, I'm just going to end up thinking everyone's really great. And everyone's like, no, he's a really bad person. I'm like, no, you know, he's actually, maybe you're misunderstanding him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're not seeing where he's coming from. But if you had his life and his experiences, you would end up being the exact same way he is.
Of course.
So try to see where someone's coming from. Whenever someone is like mean to me, which doesn't happen very often, people are usually really nice to me. Like everyone is nice to me.
Yeah.
And my friend Monet Exchange says that it's because I am really nice to everyone and because I'm really respected in this community, which is such an odd thing to me. But so everyone's nice to me. Like everyone is nice to me.
Well,
no one is mean to me. Really,
I don't
really have a lot of bad experiences. Every once in a while, I have a slightly bad experience, but I'm the kind of person who tends to call people out like as soon as it happens, but not in a bad way. I'd be like, hey, you know, I didn't like the way that you said what you said about me, so don't do that again. And they'll usually be like, oh, I didn't realize that you didn't like that kind of thing, and then we move on really quickly.
Uh-huh.
So it's awkward for like a second, but after that, it really is pretty.
We come across a lot, like, we don't do tons of nightlife. And when we do, we come across, like, girls that, like, won't even, like, look at us.
I said I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My gosh.
And it's so funny because
I just can't let it go.
I'm usually so
it feels like
friendly.
That moment when Oprah Winfrey, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but years ago, one of the Wayans brothers have a sister.
Oh, yeah.
And she was on In Living Color.
Oh, I love her.
And she did this Oprah bit where she gets fatter and fatter and fatter and then she explodes.
Yes.
And Oprah got her on her show, like with the Wayans brothers, and she had on the show, and then Oprah forced her to apologize in front of all, she was like, you know.
Kim Wayans.
Like 15, 20 years later, she was like, you know, Kim, you made fun of me for being fat when I was fat. And that really hurt my feelings. And Kim was like, what the fuck is that?
I think I remember
saying that. And she basically was like, are you sorry? I mean, she didn't, in so many words, when Oprah looks at you and says, you made fun of me, you know what you do next.
Yeah.
You
say
sorry.
Apologize.
Or the fucking mafia is going to come fucking kill you. Some mafia full of fucking white women from Idaho are going to give you fucking poison muffins, girl.
Oh, my God.
Bludgeon you to death with the free things Oprah gave him. Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
No, but yeah, sorry. You were saying, I go off on tangents.
No. We were
saying sometimes we come across like the girls that like, well, like it's like they can't see us. It's like they have blinders on. And I'm like, you go to say hi and they like quickly look away.
And I'm somebody that's very friendly, so I say hello to everybody all the time.
That's right.
You know, honestly, what I think it is too? This is genuine. I have one of my good friends, kind of like Head of Lettuce, kind of like you guys, mm-hmm. Paige Turner. You ended up getting popular and you didn't need to go through the same channel that everyone else went through. Now, Paige is popular in nightlife, but Paige doesn't have a whole lot of drag queen friends who didn't come up through her.
Uh-huh.
They became drag queens because of her shows and because of going to see her. So the other drag queens, she doesn't really have a lot of guests and stuff because she's not really friends with them because they just don't know each other really.
Right.
Yeah.
So people get offended and they think that, they, like, so when she comes by, they're like, oh, she thinks she's better than us. as opposed to, you know, saying, wow, look what she did on her own without needing to go through the proper channels.
Mm-hmm. So, and having a drag sister or mother.
Exactly. She doesn't have any of that. She's just Paige Turner. She's a huge fan base in New York City. Her fans are loyal.
Very loyal.
If Paige said drink the Kool-Aid, they wouldn't even ask what flavor it was. They'd be like, bitch, let's drink some goddamn Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And that bothers people. People don't like to see you. People do not want to see you be successful. And if they do, they just want you to be a little bit less successful than them. Especially if you didn't need their help.
Well, we always say you can tell the like genuinely confident performers. Because it goes outside of the drag world.
Yeah.
It must be like a performance entertainment thing, right? Like if you're not confident in what you're doing, you would want to make yourself feel like you're beyond the next person.
You know, Sherry Vine is a really good person who does. sorry, Shirley Vine. Sherry Vine, she brought Jackie to do her show. And someone was like, oh my God, you're not nervous having Jackie do your show? She's so funny. Like, what if she makes you look bad? And Sherry's like, first of all, I'm hilarious.
Yeah, hello.
Two, I'm skinnier than Jackie. She's like, and three, she's like, why? You want to be surrounded by talent.
Yeah, hello. Well,
you don't want to bring people who you think are less than you so you look good.
No, like, of course not. And that's what's just going to make you better. You know? Yeah. You're collaborating and growing as a performer is the thing.
Right. Like,
that's what we do.
Right. So how do you come up with a new number? What is your creative process like when you set out to do new material?
Before Bob the Drag Queen talks to you about how she goes through her creative process, I want to talk to you about something that I think is so important. As an artist, keeping yourself creative, working through those creative blocks, and utilizing tools to help you do so. Now, one of those things that I use to help me with my creative blocks is Audible.com. That's right. Audible.com has over 180,000 audio programs to choose from, including The Artist's Way at Work, Riding the Dragon, written by Mark Bryan, Julia Cameron, and Catherine Allen. Now, if you go to audibletrial.com/HOM podcast, you can sign up and get a free audiobook of your choice and a free trial membership for 30 days. And you can partake in The Artist's Way at Work, Riding the Dragon, which has helped more than 1 million people access their creativity and realize their dreams. And that's what we're all about here at the House of Mimosa, is living your passion, realizing your dreams, and working hard to make those dreams a reality. Be sure to go to audibletrial.com/HOM podcast for your free audiobook and 30-day trial. It's a great way to support this podcast and keep a roof over Travis and Steven's head.
It's really funny. I actually like to be pushed creatively. Sometimes I need to be pushed creatively. Like, if I'm doing a show and there's a theme, and I hate theme shows. But the theme is Madonna, the theme is Halloween. I'm like, ugh, I just want to do my thing. And
right.
I don't want to be in a stupid theme. But those are the shows. Those shows, I end up doing some of my best numbers. Because I literally have to go into my garage band and scour the internet. And I'm looking for, like, I'll tell you, one of my most popular numbers is Crazy Mix that I do. It's Gnarls Barkley's Crazy.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then it goes into, like, Tyra Banks's, you know, I was wondering if you were all rooting for you. And then it goes back to, like, does that make me crazy? And then it goes to this scene from this movie called Sisters where she's, like, really freaking out. She's, like, a germaphobe and agoraphobic.
Oh,
and she won't let anyone use her phone. And then there's this other scene from Crazy Eyes from the Orange is the New Black. But basically, I just start with one idea, like, a clip that I love, like, a soundbite that I love. There's this woman named Alexis K. Tyler. She's this sex advice columnist.
Yeah, vagina.
Yeah, exactly. Vagina
the
power.
Penis in your vagina.
Yeah. Oh, she's the sex columnist from Atlanta,
he has
Georgia.
The power over you.
Penis power.
Penis power.
She's brilliant.
She's crazy.
So I'm like, I gotta put this in a mix. And then I look for a song that matches that. Mm-hmm. And then I find other clips that match that. There's a comedian named Samore, one of my all-time favorite comedians. And she talks about how when you're dating a man with a big dick, you'll let him talk to you any kind of way. But if a man has a little dick, you're like, don't fucking talk to me like you're crazy.
Yeah.
You have a little dick. Don't talk
like
to me
like I have
that.
Power over you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I start with one, either a song or a soundbite. Usually a soundbite that I really love and I want to put into a song. And then I start finding other clips to go along with it. And I usually do the song and then like a short soundbite, the song, a short soundbite. the song, and then a really long one, like a minute and a half. Because the audience always gags and they realize that you've memorized like a minute and a half of like straight dialogue with no, like every single breath. And then it, the number will end. But and then I also sing live sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I squelch live sometimes. I'm not a singer. But like I'll do a number where I'm singing live or a number where I have numbers where I don't even do any singing or dancing or lip syncing at all. It'll just be like I did this mime number a while back where I like wake, I'm like this mime having like the worst day ever. And then I just wake up in my bed and then like, you know, I was pissing like an overflow of the toilet. And then I was shaving, like my neck started bleeding. And then like my drug dealer opened the door and then he shot. It was like a really creepy, weird number. But it actually ended up being like a big crowd pleaser. But I don't know, basically just whatever I feel in my heart of hearts. I'm like, oh, I wanted to be a clown today. Maybe I'll do a number with me as a clown. And then I go find a soundbite. It always starts with a soundbite, and then I go back from there.
And you do it, and you make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, the trick is, too, I think my greatest attribute is that I'm not a perfectionist. Being a perfectionist
is something that we work on, especially Steven.
That's our problem. It's very hard
our
for
problem.
Me.
Excuse me, that's your problem.
No, our problem.
Trying to pawn your problems off.
I guess it is
my
problem,
but
it's his problem.
His problem. Yeah. But, yeah, it's hard because I am such a perfectionist, so I'd rather do the one thing over and over so well than to try the fear of trying something new.
And I always say that because people like, my greatest attribute is I'm a perfectionist. I'm like, actually, that will like slow you down. Cause
detriment.
It's just a way to psych yourself into not doing work and telling yourself you're not good enough to be doing work when you know you're good and you know your work's great.
Right.
Especially when you look at some of the crappy drag queens around this place, girl. Yeah, I gotta be honest with you. I don't realize how great New York City drag is until I leave New York City.
Uh-huh.
You ever been around, just traveling around, you look at some of these other queens, you're like, in other towns, you're like, this is the worst. You're like, why are you guys clapping?
Yeah.
Stop. Don't give her a dollar. Don't give that bitch a, give her a bitch a wig or fucking clue.
You know what I love
drag
about
drag is very different outside of here.
Oh, yeah.
What I love about small town drag, though, is that their heart is so in it.
Oh.
Whereas where I think where... in my experience with like bad New York City drag, it's like they think their shit don't stink and you better agree with them. You know what I mean? It kind of is like entitled.
A lot of New York City drag queens too. Well, here's the reason why we are great and we are bad. This is why New York City has some of the best drag queens and some of the worst attitudes, because most of the drag queens here were performers before they started doing drag.
Right.
Yes.
They're all actors. They were dancers. A lot of times, that didn't pan out. Most actors' dreams will not pan out. That's just the truth.
Mm-hmm.
No,
most
true.
Drag queens' dreams won't pan out. That's the truth too. Most performers in general.
Yeah, any kind of entertainment field.
Exactly. So when you are an actor or something before you're a drag queen, you already have a performer sensibility.
Right.
And that's not necessarily the case in
in different parts of the world.
Which is why which is why New York City drag queens are just so fucking good, because they're performers already. But they also have that stigma that I didn't succeed at this. They have the weight of a failed career on top of their drag. So sometimes they're like, you know, it's really hard for artists to be happy with anyone because they can't. Artists cannot see other people's successes. All they see is their failures.
Uh-huh.
If House of Mimosa is getting a standing ovation, I don't see your standing ovation. I see me not getting a standing ovation.
Uh-huh.
That's how performers
are. Is that why you're so miserable when we got that standing ovation?
Every single time. that's how performers are. They don't see your success. They see your failures. So I feel like a lot of New York City performers just have that weighing on their shoulders. I was saying, honestly, if someone went on to win RuPaul's Drag Race, you know, all they would say is, well, my other friend just fucking performed at the Tony Awards. And then if you performed at the Tony Awards, you say, well, my other friend just won the Tony for Best Supporting Actor.
Exactly.
And then if you win for Best Supporting Actor, like, well, my other friend just won for Best Actor. And then if you win Best Actor, my other friend just won their Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, artists will never be happy. They're just so...
Right.
It's
hard to be content in what you're doing at the time that you're doing it.
Yeah.
I find that I really have to check in with myself, especially when things get hard, and really look at, oh my God, all right, I might not have a mansion in Beverly Hills, but I got a roof over my head and I'm doing what I love.
Right.
You know, like you really have to check in with whatever your successes are. I did a gig the other night.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing some solo stuff here and there, and I did a solo gig the other night. Last minute, they wanted me to do two new songs from the 80s. Which were new to me, and I produced our own track. So I had to produce the track, learn the song, It was a million degrees. It was outside.
Ugh.
Humid as could be.
It was really...
And you, do you still wear... Like,
no, not anymore.
Because, girl, when I met you, you used to wear, like, a bodysuit up to the neck.
Well, because it wasn't in character for any to have tattoos. Because
I was like, girl, it was on Fire Island. Where it's,
oh, my God.
It's called Fire Island, just to give you a goddamn yes. clue. I'm like, bitch, you got to be... Melting, girl.
Well, I have to tell you, it's a dancer's unitard, and it actually helped keep me cool, actually. And
oh,
like,
really?
Because it would pull the sweat off my body, and then I wouldn't feel it. So, like, now I perform, and I feel, like, the sweat, and, like,
oh, yeah.
the sticky,
the
and the...
Ooh,
yeah.
The juice of the rotisserie.
Which I always had, and he'd be like, jeez, you're dripping.
Girl.
And I'm like, well, girl, I'm sweating.
Right. So I did this performance, and I had to tell myself going in, okay... I'm going to continue to do these numbers after this performance, and they're going to be better 2 weeks from now than they'll be tonight. But tonight, I'm going to sell it, and it's going to be what it's going to be, and then that's it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to, like, check in with yourself, whatever you're doing, whether you're an entertainer or, you know, a housewife. You know, like,
yeah.
all right, my kids aren't on drugs. And if they are, I'm working really hard. It's not my fault. Exactly. I promise.
You know, my kids are smoking marijuana and not meth.
Right.
You know I'm doing the best I can.
And if they are smoking meth, they still have all their teeth.
You know, I learned it from you. I learned it from you.
Give it a little bit, girl.
Oh, my God. I love it. I love it. Okay, so where can people see you? Where's your favorite performance right now? Before we get into all your performances.
Well, that's so... You know, my favorite thing to do... And this is going to sound so shady. When I perform, when I'm by myself, I'm living my dream. I love working with other people. But, girl, when I'm working alone, I don't have to fucking check in with anyone.
Right.
So, blah, blah, blah. So, every Monday night, I work at Barracuda.
I love your Barracuda
the
show.
Shows
that's what we
show.
Saw. Yeah.
yeah.
Your Barracuda
with,
show.
Was you guys and Ivy Winters came to
yeah.
see
yes.
me.
Yes.
By the way, that's the first place I met Ivy Winters.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Ivy Winters, she is, by the way, Ivy Winters is freakishly beautiful.
Yes.
Gorgeous.
It's like, okay, enough. And then it's like, you know what? At least you're probably going to be, because you're so beautiful, you're probably going to be like a hideous guy. So at least I can rest in that. And then you're like, oh, no, you're actually a good-looking guy, too. And you're like, well, you know what? You probably have a terrible personality. So at least I can... And then she's like, really lovely. Like, well, it's making it hard to hate you.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, you know, you probably have literally no talent. She can sew.
Uh-huh.
She can juggle.
Making her own
she
wigs.
Can breathe fire. She makes her own
walks
wigs.
On stilts.
I think she literally designed the new World Trade Center. Like, this
you
bitch
know,
can do anything.
She sings, too. And she
yeah.
sings well.
And
yeah.
she sings very well.
Well, I met her years ago at... Well, before I met her in drag was at Barracuda.
Uh-huh.
But before I saw her in drag, she was at this bar in Queens called Lavish Lounge.
Oh, yes.
Hello,
we
going way
know.
Back. We
you
know.
Guys know Lavish Lounge?
Yes.
Oh, my God. So she used to sing karaoke there. That's where I met my first drag queen in person was at Lavish Lounge. It was
really?
Lady. It was Lady Blue.
Oh, yeah. What happened to Lady Blue?
She moved to Florida. I think she like kind of went like a little crazy.
Oh, all right.
With Lady Blue, Blackie O,
uh-huh.
Mimi I'm First,
oh, yeah.
Lauren Ordaire. And I met all these queens over there, and Ivy was dating this queen named, I don't remember her name, but anyway, and she was like singing. I was like,
yeah.
this guy is singing really, really well. And then she was like, anyway, she's brilliant.
Yeah.
But my favorite show, I go off on a tangent. You see, I have a speech
Sorry.
Impediment
no,
where I,
love
can't,
it.
I have a speech impediment where I can't shut the fuck up sometimes. So I think he's like real dead. But Ivy, no, Monday nights. Monday nights at Barracuda at
mm-hmm.
midnight. It's called The Bob Show.
Uh-huh.
That's like my favorite show. It's like an hour and a half of me just being a goddamn fool.
And how do you plan your shows out? Do you have like a set list or do you kind of, how do you plan your sets?
It's something I learned from this DJ named Natsu. I used to work with him at Boots and Saddle.
Okay.
And what he would say was, you know, you put all your songs you want to do, put like 20 songs on an iPad list.
Right.
And then you just number them. So I have a sheet over here. This is 1 through 20.
Oh, perfect.
He has my iPad, which has 1 through 20. And I'll say, number 6, hit it. I end up doing like 5, maybe 6 numbers. But I have 20 to choose from because
right.
I can never choose.
And then you make
yeah. I usually decide opening number and closing number before I get there. And then everything else I just decide on those.
That's
you have to fill
I love
the
that.
Crowd,
that's
you know?
How we
yeah.
like to work. And we luckily we work with our own sound system and sound person. And so they... You know, our couple sound people like know our cues, so but it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, instead of saying play track 20, we give the cue and they.
And each
know.
Night is different, you know, and
yeah.
we work off of improv and that can create a different dynamic. And
well,
then
and the crowd like determines too, I feel like a little bit like, okay, we need to pump the crowd up right now, so let's go with this way or.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're paying attention, so let's do a song that has story or.
It's true, like when, you know, every bar is different.
Right.
And so I work at, If I don't, currently I have worked at almost every single bar in New York City.
Don't you currently work at every single bar in New York City?
I work at the Monster, I work at Boots and Saddle, I work at Barracuda, Hardware, Industry, Therapy, and that's
isn't that more clubs than there are days in a week?
Yeah. I work at, and then I do once a month in Philadelphia at a bar called Taboo.
Yes. How's that?
Oh, Taboo is great. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Philadelphia. Can I say, when you leave New York City, they treat drag queens so differently.
We talk about that a lot. When we go outside of the city, it's like we're Lady Gaga came to town.
It's everyone in the bar treats you differently. Like, first of all, when I'm at my show at Barracuda, because every show in New York City is free. Almost all the shows are free.
Yes.
Not only are they free, the audience usually acts like they paid $100 to get in.
Hello, somebody. when the show is free, there's no stake in the show. You have no investment.
Right.
You can talk during the show. You can leave. You don't give a fuck. It's a freaking free show. Right. You didn't pay anything. You have nothing on the line here. But when you pay even just $5, you care. You're paying attention. Like, honestly, as a general rule, most drag queens, there's one kind of person drag queens hate to see at their show. Large groups of young white women. They scream, wow! They don't pay attention. Like, blah, blah. I went to do a gig in Philly. All these white women in front. I was like, oh, this is going to be a disaster. I was gagged when they were all sitting there facing the stage holding out dollars. I was like, oh my God, they're like paying attention. I was like, am I in the Twilight Zone? They were all paying attention, attentive, listening, laughing, not standing on tables, going, woo!
Going crazy.
Not doing body shots.
Saying, can you sit on my straight man's lap?
Exactly. Oh, you to be funny, come here. Let's laugh at your, faggotiness. And I'm like, no, bitch.
No.
I am a clown, but let me fucking be a clown on my goddamn terms.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
When I was shocked. I love performing in Philly because they really care about the performances there because they've invested something in it.
I love that.
And it's not expensive. The show's like $7.
Right.
I mean, you would probably give a drag queen a $7 tip throughout the night anyway.
They should. If you're going to see a drag show and you really like the drag queen, you should hand over a 20. I'm just
true.
Saying.
Yeah.
If you if the show is good, give them a 20. If it's not good, pull out a 5.
That's what, honestly. Yeah. So even if she's terrible, you give her $5.
Can we go through the cost of what it costs to be a drag queen?
I would love for us to each individually go to the cost and see what it costs to do something.
I just did my taxes, girl, late. Sorry, Obama. It's coming.
Oh, great.
It's coming. But I literally went through and I couldn't believe how much money I made last year. I can't believe how much I'm in the hole.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute.
You spent more than you made.
your deductions like exceed your spending.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
How did I even do this?
Usually, yeah. Yes,
you couldn't fix the books like that. You couldn't cook the books that way even if you fucking wanted to.
Right.
My
tax person said to me this year, okay, now next year we're going to have to show that you made something. Honey. So I was like, whatever you got to do. As long as I keep getting my insurance.
For me to do drag, I mean, let's say I'm wearing a pair of pumps that might cost, on the expensive side for me, $80. On the cheap side, $30, $40.
Yeah.
Three pair of tights, three pair of capizios, which are 15 bucks a piece.
Or if not more.
Yeah.
The fishnets are $25.
Yeah, thank you. I haven't even gotten there yet. So I'm wearing $45 in tights, $25 in fishnets. And then I'm wearing a bra from like H&M, costs like $25. I'm wearing a corset, which costs $98. I'm wearing two wigs or three wigs.
Right, or
four. Or four. Each costs about $40 a piece.
Right.
I'm wearing my foundation, which is about $10 a piece.
Well, I was going to say, you're doing your makeup, and obviously you don't spend a lot of money on makeup. I'm just kidding.
That's a rude girl.
No, but literally, I'm looking at your makeup, and I'm like, oh, shit, I guess I don't have to get my makeup at Sephora where I spend $80 on a little teeny tiny.
No, I use stage makeup.
No, you should, I should, but I'm a fan of product. I can't, like, get enough.
This is my one Sephora thing, which is the best eyeliner in the world. It's like this marker thing.
Stop.
If you want the real tea, I found this in the dressing room at The Monster. I was like, what is this?
This is amazing.
And ever since then, I've been using it. Uh-huh. I go back and I buy it because it is like that fucking phenomenal.
Hello.
But as general, I buy all Benign products.
Benign is really great. Yeah.
We use half of our stuff, I think, is Benign.
Yeah.
Really.
It goes on like fucking plaster.
Yeah.
But it's good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so being a drag queen is expensive, so tip them.
Yeah.
Tell me your least favorite ever story of like the worst performance ever, whether it was the venue or the audience or like what is just a story that sticks out of your mind? It's like, this was the worst. Like, I don't know if I can ever perform in drag again. This was the worst thing ever.
I had done this cruise ship, RSVP cruises. This is one of the most amazing experiences of my life. Like, oh my God. I got on this cruise. It was me, Jinx Monsoon, uh-huh. Kathy and Jimmy, like stars.
Mm-hmm.
I was the new girl in town.
Okay.
Although I had never even done a cruise. I had never even left America, the United States before. Okay. Wow. We were in Mexico. And I was like living my dream. And then they were like, I mean, this cruise, they were treating me like the fucking queen of the world. Everywhere, Bob, oh my God. What? Like everywhere I went, I had to add a show because they were like, it was in demand.
That's
they were like,
amazing.
People were like, we are not coming back on this cruise if Bob is not here. So that's the pre-course, okay?
I
come back to New York City, where that's not the case.
Right.
I'm on stage at one of my gigs, and this is like the day I got back. And I'm on stage, and this guy walks in, and he walks right to the edge of the stage, and then he turns around, and he faces the audience, and he's like dancing, like as if I'm not even standing there. And there's tons of videos of me online reading audience members being like, you need to sit down because that's the one thing I want. I won't stand for you interrupting my show.
Right.
So there are people who actually came to see me. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I said, look, baby, you need to move. You can't stand there. You can stand anywhere in this bar except three places. Behind the bar, on the stage, and right in front of the stage.
Right.
You can stand in 98% of the bar.
Right.
Just not this spot. And he looks at me and he goes, I used to work here. I used to be a stripper. Oh. I looked at him and I said, yeah, you used to be a stripper. He did not like that at all. And then he was like, I can fucking blah, blah, blah. He's like, going on what he'll do to me and how he'll beat me up.
Oh, my God.
And then I said, well, look, baby, this is how it's going to work out for you. If you don't leave right now,
yeah.
One or two things are going to happen. Okay? Either you can like, you know, behave yourself and I'll even buy you a drink or out of nowhere. Mysteriously, a humongous black man is going to tap you on the shoulder and escort you out of the building. It happens every time. I say, so you're not in a situation like this very often. I do this 6 times a week. I guarantee you I know how this is going to end. He gets so mad at me because the security guard taps him on the shoulder and they get ready to throw him out. You know security can't just throw you out of
right.
the building.
No.
Right.
So he picks up a beer bottle and he lobs it at my head. He throws it at me. And I was holding the microphone like this. And I saw it coming. It was like slow motion. And I just tilted to the side.
Oh, thank God.
It hit the TV behind me. There's like a big screen TV behind me.
Uh-huh.
And I stood back and I was like, are you done having your temper tantrum? And this is like the week after, like, they were like going crazy for me. And I get back to New York City and I have to say stuff like, please don't stand on stage while I'm
please
performing.
Don't be an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all.
Like where I'm like, thank you for carrying me off the ship. And then I have to say stuff like, please don't throw beer bottles at me.
But that's always the case. You'll have this huge high moment and then it'll match this really small.
Well, now I was
going to
ask you, what's your best story of performing?
Oh, wow. I mean, the cruise ship was a really great experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I think probably one of my best nights of performing ever, there used to be this pageant in New York City. It was called Our Lady of Saliva.
Okay.
It was a pageant for, like, freaks and, like, weird queens. And, like, it was, like, if you wanted to do something really experimental and crazy, you would do it at Our Lady of Saliva. It used to be the Ritz on Tuesdays, hosted by Azrea and Thorgy.
Uh-huh.
I don't think Azrea even does drag anymore. But Thorgy, she definitely does drag. Anyway, so I entered this pageant. I didn't even win this night. It was just one of my all-time favorite performances. I did this number where I'm on the phone with my boyfriend, and then he's dating. He has a wife, so I go into like Diamonds Are Forever. You can find this on the internet. Type in Drag Queens Love Diamonds. That's the performance. And so I started singing the song Diamonds Are Forever, and I opened my mouth. All these like rhinestones fall out of my mouth, and the audience was like, it was all drag queens. They're all like, yeah. And then I, like, pull out these diamond earrings, a diamond necklace, these, like, shoes that are covered in diamonds. And then I, like, rip off my dress, and I'm wearing, like, a fully rhinestoned cat suit. And then at the end of the number, I pull off my lashes, and I reach under my wig, and I pull down this, like, mask that is, like, covered in rhinestones. And the audience, like, just going crazy, and I was, like, a newish queen. And they were, like, screaming and, like, just, like, gagging. And it was just, like, that was honestly one of my best moments in drag. Performing at Saliva. I've done a couple of gigs there. And that was really a breeding place for, like, for creativity. as far as drag goes.
That's I love it. Well, we're already running out of time. So where can people find you?
Okay, you ready for the full rundown?
Here we go, girl.
Well, first of all, go to bobthedragqueen.com. That's my website. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. If you're like a hoe, I'm on Grindr, I'm on Jack, I'm on Scruff, I'm on Christian Mingle. I'm on my favorite hookup app, which is Google Maps, because you know exactly where to find people. So go to bobthedragqueen.com. Every single Sunday, I am at Hardware for Skinny Brunch. Drink specials from 3 till 9.
That's perfect. Come to our brunch, House Mimosa Brunch at Kitchen Restaurant, and then head on over to Hardware and see Bob the Drag Queen.
It's a free show, $3 drinks. And then I do Look Queen at the Monster, which starts at midnight. We have special guests each week.
Wait, hold up. On Sunday.
We're still on Sunday. We haven't left Sunday yet.
Okay. Sunday. I'm just picturing, we're just getting started, but I'm just picturing the calluses on your feet.
Oh, you don't have to picture them, bitch. I will show you. Like,
oh my God.
My feet. Oh, actually, quick pause. I want them to look at my feet. Look at me.
Oh my God.
These are in a drag ruins your butt. Look at these feet. They are, I don't wear.
Feet look like my feet.
Girl, I don't wear heels. I wear cages. These are fucking talons. Like, my feet were in the movie Lake Placid. Maybe you fucking remember them.
Okay. So, wait. Now I have another question. So you're doing your makeup now for your Skinny Brunch show.
Yeah.
Which is happening shortly.
Yep.
And you keep it the same. I'm assuming you touch up.
Yeah, sometimes I redo my face completely because my show at their end ends around 8 o'clock. Uh-huh. So my show there is until midnight.
Right,
and I do really wacky, crazy looks at Look Queen. It's called Look Queen, so I'm obviously doing like a lot of crazy shit there.
Okay,
so I usually get out of take my clothes off, and I keep my face on, put my boy clothes on, I ride the train down, and then when I get there, I have like 2 hours to either touch up or redo my face completely.
Okay.
When I get to Look Queen.
Okay, so Skinny Brunch in the afternoon, Look Queen at the Monster at midnight.
We always have great special guests. We've had everyone from Lady Bunny, Mila Jam, Fifi O'Hara, Dusty Ray Bottoms, all these great queens. You got to come. These queens really turn it out there. And then on Monday nights, I'm at Barracuda for the Bob Show.
Which is my favorite.
This is the one you got to come. If you want to see me... Without any of these other shitty queens like Lady Bunny.
I mean,
ruining the night.
Seriously.
So every Monday night I'm at Barracuda. On Tuesday nights, I am at Industry for a show called Bad Drag Queen, where I give out $100 to some queen in the audience who doesn't even know she's a queen yet. I pull up someone from the audience. I give you 10 minutes to get dressed in drag. And then if you win, I give you $100, which means you make more than every drag queen in Brooklyn. Basically, for one night of work. On Wednesdays, I am with my good girlfriend, Pixie Aventura, at Therapy at 11 o'clock. On Thursdays, I am at Boots and Saddle at 9 o'clock.
How's the new Boots and Saddle?
It is beautiful. It really is beautiful. It is on there. It's on 100A 7th Avenue.
Okay.
It is the old Actors Playhouse. It's right across the street from Jekyll and Hyde Pub.
Oh, yes.
And let me tell you right now, and I can say this now because we're not there anymore, the old Boots and Saddles was a fucking shack.
Well, I was gonna say, I will never forget my first time in there. I was working at, back in the day, I used to travel opening restaurants for Johnny Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wasn't traveling, I was based out of the one on 8th Street by NYU. And I will never forget one time, Stephen and I, in an afternoon, were just walking around and we're like, let's just pop in, what is this place? Oh my God. It was like, who goes to Boots and Saddles on an afternoon and a weekday?
Girl.
Like, you can imagine.
Oh yeah, the crazies.
Oh, yeah.
I have, honestly, I have no idea how they ever passed out this section. Now the place is gorgeous. It is.
It is
really nice.
That's exciting.
But girl, that old Boots and Saddles was stunts, shows, and shenanigans. But it was charming. Like, if you worked there, that was one of the places in the city where people, like, they come
because
they
want to
see drag. It really was.
The drag queen,
they come
because
they want to see drag queens. Yeah. And there's literally drag.
Well, tons of drag there all the time now.
Oh my God. Yeah. There is drag literally every hour they're open.
Yeah.
There's never, they hire, I would say this, Robert Ziegler is the owner of Boots and Saddles. This man has figured out how to be able to pay and pay competitively all these drag queens. He's not chump changing any of these drag queens. They all get what they want.
Good.
The audience is there tip really well. He is a brilliant businessman.
Steven, are you writing this down?
Exactly. He is so good to his employees, and he not only that, he believes in the community. It just kind of pissed me off because when he Rock Bar is a bar on Christopher Street, way up the river, they were almost going to lose their place, and he went down and he managed the place.
Oh, how nice!
While owning Boots and Saddle,
yeah,
for like pennies on the they didn't pay him close to what it was worth. Even if they paid him $1 million a month, they didn't pay him what it was worth. He found a new owner for the place. They bought it. Like, he really turned that place around.
That's nice.
Just to keep Christopher Street gay. And then when he was getting kicked off Christopher Street, I felt like no one came to his rescue. He saved, like, the church across the street. Right. I mean, this man is, like, really a phenomenal person. And really saved Christopher Street. And then when it came time to return the favor, I didn't feel like there were not people there to, like...
That's sad.
But, I mean, he's smart and he's a good businessman, so
he was able
to get this really phenomenal space.
That's awesome.
They were like, people were like, well, what if people see drag queens during the day? And I was like, so fucking what? It's the West Village.
Hello. Welcome to my life.
There's a sex store right next door. Yeah.
Hello.
Girl. Hello, someone.
Yeah.
But, yeah, come see the new Boots and Saddles. 100 A 7th Avenue. Real cute. Especially come on Thursday between 9 and 11 o'clock. 9 o'clock, white people time. If you come at 9:01, you miss the first fucking minute of the show, girl.
I love it.
And then, so where's that in the week?
That's on Thursdays.
And where are you Fridays?
Once a month on Fridays, I go to Philadelphia to do the New York City Drag Invasion. And so the other three, I'm usually off or just doing someone's show because they asked me to do it. We're doing some stupid podcast. And then on Saturdays, the Lord said rest. So I do.
That's a good day to rest.
And then on Sundays, it's back to the grind. Sunday's my Monday, and Thursday is my Friday.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And people can go to, what's the website again, Sam?
BobTheDragQueen.com.
And you're on Instagram.
BobTheDragQueen.
How about Twitter?
BobTheDragQueen.
I love it.
Actually, my Twitter handle is That One Queen. Type in BobTheDragQueen, it'll pop up.
Okay.
And on Facebook, my name is Christopher Caldwell, parentheses, BobTheDragQueen.
Yes.
My website has all those links on the first page. BobTheDragQueen. Queen for the people. Serving the people, girl.
And what's next? What can people see coming up? I know there were some projects you said you could talk about, some you can't.
Well, I mean, I have a couple of projects coming up that I'm very excited about. One that I will tell you about I have this character. You guys, I love that you guys have like these characters you guys created too. I have this character. She's a rapper. Her name is Hood Pussy. And I've already released a couple of Hood Pussy videos on the line. There's like, I released this fight video of me getting into a fight on the one train. If you, it's like got posted on like World Star and everything. So that is already posted up there. And she has like a rap album coming out soon. And like,
I love it.
And I'm working on a couple of slay ideas for that. So check me out, BobTheDragQueen.com. There's always something going on. The fucking hardest working goddamn.
You are.
Girl.
Yeah, the hardest working queen.
I'm trying to figure out how to make the money I'm making now, but work like 2 days a week. That's the real.
Girl, that's you gotta.
This is what I tell all the queens, honey. We're never gonna be able to make what we should make if you keep working.
It's
what,
true.
What,
Yeah. No.
I tell these fucking queens. A lot of queens come to me for advice, and I mean, I will say, I will say this. I'm not necessarily a cheap queen, but a lot of people in the city really like me, so they're willing to pay what I ask for. So maybe it's time to, I don't know, maybe it's time to knock it up and give,
hello.
Knock it up knock another it up level again.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Bob.
Oh, wait,
we love you. And good luck on all your future endeavors.
And good luck to you, girls. I'm so glad that we're finally sitting down and doing this.
I know. It's been quite some time. We've been trying to plan it, and here we are now.
Yeah.
Can I give one bit of advice to your listeners?
Yes,
this is probably the most important.
I would tell you were going to give me advice. I was like, please. Please, God.
I'll take it.
The most important bit of advice anyone's ever given. My mom told me this. When you realize that a pen doesn't work, throw it away. Don't put it back in the cup. That's the most important advice I can ever give anyone.
Are you speaking to most of the New York City drag queens?
No. Well, can I tell you a quick little gag of a story? You can keep it or not.
Yes.
So I work with this queen, and we work at the same place. And so I was coming in, and she sees me, and I'm wearing overalls. And she sees me, she goes, she's drunk. She goes, you look like Aunt Jemima. And I was like... Because Aunt Jemima wore overalls. She was like, no, you know what I mean. I was like, I don't. You know what I was like? I went to the dressing room. And then she said something else kind of racist. And I have a rule of thumb. If it's funny, I will laugh.
Yeah.
I don't care how offensive it is.
Yeah.
But if it's not funny, I'm not going to laugh at it. Even if it's not offensive, I don't laugh at jokes that aren't funny. Because if you laugh at someone's jokes and they're not funny, it encourages them to keep telling jokes
right.
of that caliber. And then you're stuck laughing at jokes that aren't funny.
Right.
So then she says something else at the end. She's like, can I say something without you getting mad? And that's always a great way to start a conversation, right? And she goes, we should do Huck Finn and you should be Jim and I'll be Huck. And then I looked at her and I said, years ago, I tried taking gymnastics classes. And halfway through, I realized I'm not good at this. So I quit. And then I just walked away.
That's right, honey. You read her, Phil.
And I was like, everyone doesn't need to be a comedian or a drag queen.
That's right.
And then I just did my makeup and got my coins.
Yes. Girl. That's it, girl. Well, thank you so much. We love you, Bob. And we hope to have you back again soon.
Yes. And I feel strongly about you guys, too.
You're a dick. You're a dick. Thank you guys for listening. Cheers. And make sure you're subscribed on iTunes. And you can also go to YouTube and subscribe to the House of Mimosa there. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Did you know that by going to audibletrial.com/HOM podcast, you'll keep this podcast free? That's right. Help support HOM Podcast and go to audibletrial.com/HOM podcast and sign up for a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook of your choice. It's that easy. audibletrial.com/HOM podcast. Now, another way you can support this podcast is by going to YouTube and subscribing to House of Mimosa YouTube channel. YouTube.com/SundayMorningMimosa. That's YouTube.com/SundayMorningMimosa. Every like, every share, every comment helps keep us going, garnering new fans, booking new gigs, and getting the word out there. Thank you all so much for your support. From the deepest depths of the bowels of my heart, Anita Buffum.